verses 1 through 13. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because of he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cherie. It's beautiful. Thank you, Mark. Might be the appropriate time to recognize Mark Prater. He's been with us for the month of July. Mark, we certainly appreciate you sharing your talents with us. We always do. I regret that I was away for half of it. But we're always glad to have you here. Thanks. Yeah. I thought I'd just get the show and tell out of the way with a slide. I have been away for a couple of weeks on a combination of vacation and continuing education out in Rocky Mountain National Park. So I thought I'd share just a little bit of that scenery with you and may reflect on that a little more later in the sermon. It's good to be back. It's good to see all of you. As the story goes, Albert Einstein was asked one time, what is the most important question that one can ask oneself and the universe itself? And that question, according to the story about Albert Einstein, is the universe a friendly place? Is the universe a friendly place? And I want to suggest to us this morning that this same question lingers in this scripture passage that we just heard, when the disciples say to Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Tell us what to ask for. And the words of his prayer, the prayer that we say in our worship every Sunday morning, the words of his prayer, as well as the parable that follows it, paint a picture of a friendly universe. One which Jesus often refers to as the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, in some gospel accounts. He shows us a universe that is filled with potential and possibility of daily sustenance, forgiveness, economic justice, and safety. This is the prayer that Jesus teaches us as he paints a picture of a friendly universe. And then he tells a parable about what to ask for. And basically, the gist of that parable is, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened unto you. That this universe, this picture that he paints of the kingdom of God, this friendly universe is available to everyone simply by the asking. Is the universe a friendly place? The way we answer that question determines whether it is or not. It's not really an objective question. It's a subjective question. Because we human beings have consciousness. We have perception. As one ancient sage said, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. A lot of truth in that. And along with our question about, is the universe a friendly place, comes the question, is humanity good or humanity bad? In many ways, we have a simple choice. And then when I say simple, I do not mean simplistic. It is far from simplistic. Because it involves every choice, large and small, that we make throughout the course of our lives. It involves what we ask for, what we seek, which doors we knock on. And these determine the world as we experience it. I say now, it's not simplistic. It's not putting on rose-colored glasses. It's living in the world the way it is and realizing that we have a choice. Viktor Frankl was an Austrian psychologist who was captured by the Nazi regime and was in several concentration camps and survived the famous extermination camp of Auschwitz. He wrote a classic book following that, Man's Search for Meaning, or Human's Search for Meaning. But a couple of things that Viktor Frankl summarized in his experience in this Nazi concentration camp and all of its horrors, horrors that we in this room cannot even imagine. Frankl says, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Survivor after survivor of the Holocaust, part of their story is usually, I had to change myself because I could not change the horror that was taking place around me. Frankl also says, everything can be taken from a person but one thing. The last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Another way of putting that is we can't change other people, but we can always change how we react to other people. We can't change many circumstances in our lives, but we can change how we react to those circumstances. We have choice as to whether the universe is a friendly place or not. These choices are large, they're small. They could be as small as the view I have of a person that I meet on the street, the websites I visit, the news sources I choose. They could be as large as the career I choose or pursue, or the religion I choose, or the church I choose to attend. These all affect the world, the universe, as we experience it. Our choices. I had the opportunity the last 2 weeks to spend time in a very friendly universe. 2 weeks out in Rocky Mountain National Park. First part of it was spent with Peg and some good friends over a long weekend, just enjoying friends and doing some hiking. And then I had about 2 or 3 days where I had some solitude by myself there. And then a whole week of a pastor's retreat that I've been attending now for 7 years, where I think this year we had anywhere from 9 to 11 pastors from around the country. We get together at this same compound outside of Estes Park, Colorado. And we've all read the same books, 4 books on a central theme. And we spend time discussing those books after every day we get up and take a morning hike. And then in the afternoons we have our discussions. This photograph right here was on a hike I was on Thursday. Thursday was a day where we had choices. There are always some choices. You can take a more difficult trail. You can take a more moderate trail. You can take a more easy trail. We all try to get to the same trailhead and go in different directions. And sometimes there's a large group going on the hike you want to go on, and sometimes there's not. This particular day, I spent most of the day alone on the hike. This lake you're looking at is called the Lock there in Rocky Mountain National Park. It's right at 10,000 feet above sea level. Actually, that's not very high out there. It is high, but some of the other trailheads start at 10,000 feet, okay? But this lake is was the destination, my destination that day, about 10,000 feet above sea level. I've been there numerous times before, but it is one of the most peaceful places as you look at that alpine lake surrounded by glacier-covered mountains. You stand on the edge of a scene like this, and you see the beauty and the wonder and the goodness of the universe. Now, this was taken probably about 11 a.m. By 1:30, that blue sky was dark because those afternoon thunderstorms come rolling into the mountains, and they can be tremendously violent. but just as beautiful in their own way, as long as they're over your shoulder. Natural beauty. Oh my goodness, we saw moose on the trail about 10 feet away from us. Elk. We had a bear that stayed around our compound most of the week and even visited the house's kitchen one night. There's a bear out in Rocky Mountain National Park that loves s'mores. That's all the bear took, were marshmallows, chocolate bars, and graham crackers, and some trail bars. Left all the fruit and vegetables. So. We also had an experience where we experienced human kindness and human care. That first weekend when Peg and our friends were there, we were on the trail one afternoon, and Peg had a stumble on the trail and skint up her knee and her elbow pretty good. And it takes a few minutes to recover from a stumble like that. And you'll see she's here. She's okay. Okay. But while we were on the side of the trail, I can't tell you how many people up and down the trail stopped. Do you need some water? I've got a first aid kit. Do you need this? Do you need that? Can we go back down the trail and bring some help? Nobody just walked past us. Everyone was helpful and kind and considerate. As we discovered, human kindness. Now there's also human cruelty. As Viktor Frankl can testify, there's also human cruelty, as we read about in our newspapers and on our computers. Human cruelty perpetrated by people who think they're doing the right thing. One of the books our group read was a book called And There Was Light by a Frenchman named Jacques Lusseron. Jacques Lusseron was blind. As a young boy, he became blind and grew into living into this blindness. And he was in France as a teenager, 17 years old, when the Nazis occupied France. And Jacques Lusseron and his friends formed an integral piece of the French underground resistance. And he was the recruiter. And one reason he was the recruiter is because he had developed such perceptive senses, because he did not have his sight. And he could nearly read a person's personality by the time they walked in the room. Well, eventually, their whole resistance group was captured. And Jacques Lusseron ended up at Buchenwald. And he says in this book that he never really had real hope until he had no hope. It's when he found out that he was going to Buchenwald, that he was at the rock bottom, that he said, "Now I have hope, not of freedom, but of just experiencing each and every moment as a gift." And he became an instrument of care and peace and refuge among all of the other prisoners there at Buchenwald. and ended up being just among a handful out of thousands that were liberated when the Allies came into that area. But his hope, and as he says, his light, came in a moment of hopelessness and darkness. So you see, he had to make a choice. And he did. He chose to see light, even though he was blind. He chose to have hope in each and every moment, even though he thought and knew the situation was hopeless. He decided then and there that basically the universe was a friendly place. And as Jesus tells us, the kingdom of heaven is here. And we pray for it every time we say that Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus talks about a kingdom that's here. It's around us, and we are invited to live into it. Simple, but not simplistic. The question permeates our lives, and our responses create the lenses through which we see the people in the world around us. Our responses have lasting implications. And my friends, we live in a time of decision. Because the decisions that we make as a human race, the decisions we make as individuals right now, today, with all of the controversy and violence and chaos going on in our world and in our country, we are deciding the future. And it will look like the kingdom of God, or it won't. But we always can answer that question, is the universe a friendly place? By simply saying, yes, it is. And I will do my part to keep it that way. Amen. Before hearing our charge this morning, I want to take just a moment to recognize someone. I'll ask you to sit down to do this. Not you, Carolyn. You need to come up here. For those of you who may not know, today is Carolyn Underwood's official last day in our congregation. I say official because I fully expect to see her around here occasionally. But Carolyn is moving all the way to the other side of the bay. We've tried to tell her that, you know, you can just get up earlier and come on over. But she's moving over to be closer to her family, and I think you can see why here. But Carolyn, as much as we hate to see you go, we know this is the right thing for you. And you need to know that you are going to be missed. You are. I mean, I've been in several congregations. I've been going at this pastoring stuff for 27 or so years, and people come and people go, and every once in a while there are people who just leave a big hole when they leave. And we know that you are following your path, but you need to know that we're just going to miss you. We're going to miss your smile. We're going to miss your enthusiasm. We're going to miss you in the choir. Every once in a while, when I want just a little energy, I turn around to the choir during a hymn just to watch you sing it. Carolyn was on the pastoral nominating committee that extended the call for me to come here, and you were a major part of my decision. And I thank you for being here. She served as a deacon. She served as an elder. I can't count the ways right here that Carolyn has served us and served our congregation and served this community. You know, because she's walked up to you with a clipboard in her hand. And we just thank you. We love you. And we want you to come back just as often as you can. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to speak, okay? Unless you want to. God is good. I'm going to teach you something. We used to do this at Montreat Youth Conferences, at other church gatherings. It goes like this. I say God is good. You say all the time. I say all the time. You say God is good. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. All the time. We live in the love of God. We live in a friendly universe. But sometimes we make choices that create violence and hatred and despair. And oftentimes we do it thinking that we are doing the right thing. And it's often in the name of nationalism, patriotism, and religion that all gets mixed up together. And somehow we perpetrate violence thinking we're doing the will of God. Now, how absurd is that? The universe is a friendly place. God is good. And all the time. Amen.